Hi guys, welcome back to the Get Off My Broom podcast. And I know it's been a while, don't judge me. Actually, judge me, judge me, because I'm judging myself. If I go back to when was the last podcast I recorded, it was back in June of last year. And it's okay, I'm judging myself and you can do it as well. But yeah, I remember I was working in June on a podcast about voodoo versus hoodoo, and then life happened and then here we are. But this is kind of a blessing in disguise because I have time now, because of, you know, the Rona. I have time now to record, to sit down, to actually grow spiritually, which is actually just such a blessing. And so I'm way more prepared, I think, and confident to talk about what it is I want to talk about. So yeah, and I really hope you guys enjoy it. So as I was saying before, I kind of disappeared from this page and disappeared from the podcast world. I asked people if they wanted to know more about voodoo and hoodoo, and you guys all said yes, and that was very cool. The first thing I wanted to do was to, in one episode, just give you the rundown of this is hoodoo and this is voodoo, and I think that would have been very, very disrespectful, to say the least, to the ancestors, to the religions and the beliefs. Hoodoo and voodoo is so huge, and they have been kind of like condensed, and people pick and choose what they want out of it, that people think that it is not a very rich religion, or it's not a really rich belief, when in fact it is huge. It is really big. And to have just one episode dedicated to both practices would have been very disrespectful of me, and it would have not helped you guys at all either. Since June, I have been studying and I have been practicing, so that's not even a problem, and I feel way more comfortable speaking about it now. But what I'm going to do, and how I'm going to, we're going to have kind of like a course or a curriculum about voodoo and hoodoo, as a podcast, of course, and so we can have fun. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start only with hoodoo, and I'm going to break it up into episodes in one series. So I'm going to have like a hoodoo series, and I'm going to break it up into different episodes, and each episode is going to touch a specific aspect of hoodoo. Same thing with voodoo, but then again, with voodoo, yeah, let me just explain why I decided to start with hoodoo first. So hoodoo has been practiced for a long time by descendants or slaves that came over from Africa to the Americas. And of course, this practice is still practiced everywhere else, even in Africa, but they call it different. So we're going to get to that. But slaves, just so you have a little understanding what happened with the hoodoo, is like they arrived to the Americas with their own practices and beliefs, but then when they arrived, they were separated from their families and their tribes just so they would be easier to control, meaning they wouldn't have a common language to speak with other slaves. So they were definitely separated, but that's a known thing, you can Google. But yeah, so they were separated, and then so the only thing they had left was their religion, and they saw that they had they had a lot of things in common with other slaves when it came to their religion, and so they kind of mixed it all together. They knew that most of their religion was nature-based, and they believed in the same kind of like spirits. They were animists and things like that, and that also gave way to why in hoodoo we also have a lot of Native American practices, because when you're indigenous, your beliefs usually stems from the earth, and Africans were indigenous of Africa and Native Americans were indigenous of the Americas, and so their belief usually stemmed from the earth, and so they were able to see common ground about their beliefs, and so they were able to mix it together. So why I decided to start with hoodoo is because it's so flexible. There's not one practitioner that uses hoodoo the same. Hoodoo can be like, okay, let's not lie here, that it is mostly a Afro-American or Black religion. Okay, we're not gonna lie about that. But hoodoo, unlike voodoo, is not closed to the larger public. And so anyone can be a practitioner of hoodoo. But that is, how can I explain this? It is very much, still very much Black. And if you don't understand the Black concept and the Black life and the Black and everything, it might be a little hard for anyone to practice hoodoo, because the core beliefs stem from African religions and African practices. So yeah, so it's very complicated, because hoodoo is not closed off to people. It is not, but you do need to understand a lot of things, and this is why this series is here, and I'm going to help you guys. I live next to a tram, so I will have a lot of little noises around, but normally my apartment is pretty quiet. So yeah, why don't we delve in to what we're going to talk about, and yeah, stay tuned. Okay, let's start. I have lots of notes, so I'm going to be a little bit over the place, but I'm going to try to follow a sort of straight arrow when it comes to what I've learned and what I'm doing. So a little bit of how you use your hoodoo and what it is for. They were always trying to control their outside environments and their inside as well. So it's usually hoodoo, you use it for concerns like mental problems, spiritual problems, physical health conditions and things like that. But then again, it's just being a doctor, meaning you look at a plant, you're like, okay, this is for headaches, this is for whatever. But then you also had other plants that would be like, this is for love, and this is for your heart, and this is for this is for attracting luck. And they didn't see the spiritual and physical world as separate things. They had what we call correspondence magic, meaning everything that is above is the same as below. Everything that is in the spiritual realm represents the physical realm. So, in physical realm, meaning the plants and everything, the plants also had their spiritual soul. So if a plant is for the heart, it's usually like healing the spiritual heart, which in turn will heal your physical heart and things like that. So most practices believe this as above, so below concepts. And maybe I might have to do a whole episode about the correspondence magic and why correspondence is very important in understanding correspondence is very important in understanding magic. But but first, we're just gonna go with the hoodoo. So usually, yeah, it was for you know, physical health conditions, drawing love. It was for helping the relationship at home, at school. Maintaining relationships with spirits and ancestors. For example, we believe. Yeah, I guess I am not a hoodoo. It is very difficult to explain, because I am not a hoodoo practitioner. But as an African, I'm an animist. So of course, that most of what hoodoo does is my culture. It is normal. So I will say in terms of we here, as if I was a hoodoo practitioner. But I am not African American, and so my African beliefs are very specific to my tribe and very specific to my country. But it is very much like hoodoo. But hoodoo was just mixed in with other countries and other tribes, if that makes sense. So yeah, that is hoodoo. And one of the really big concepts of hoodoo is mojo. and I'm sure you heard it before. So now I'm going to play a little song so that you guys can understand a little bit. I'm going to play little clips here to let you know that you heard the term mojo before, and then we'll come back to it.
My friend here thinks it's fine the way it is.
Well, no offense to Stevie, but you gotta have mojo, baby. Yeah!
I've got something to tell you.
What do you want? Don't do that. Don't do that. As long as you know me, don't you put your hand on my mojo.
Why, honey?
Now, the depression has made me do a lot of things that I never did before. That's why I went to a fortune teller and got me this lucky mojo.
Yeah, if you don't know what mojo is, and probably most of you don't, or you think you do, and if you hear those kind of songs, what you might hear from this is a lot of like sexual innuendos. You know, she got my mojo, I got my mojo, I'm gonna use my mojo on them, or all kinds of stuff, you know. And you would think it's something like your vibe, your coolness, or your sex in some instance. And so what happened during the blues and jazz era, when people would talk, especially Afro-Americans, speak about their mojo, white Americans, with their over-sexualization of the black body, I'm sorry to say, but yeah, they would usually take it as something sexual, even though it was definitely not that. But they would be like, yeah, mojo definitely means penis. But then this goes to social issues where white people in Americas or around the world sexualize the black man, you know, with having a big appendage and things like that. So they will take a lot of those songs to mean sexual things when they were actually pretty spiritual. And I'm going to just let you know then now what mojo is. Let me go back in my notes so I don't. So if you want to understand mojo, you need to understand that, think of hoodoo as an umbrella term. So you have hoodoo, umbrella. And then hoodoo is pretty much the knowledge of how nature works, how the environment works, how spirituality, and hoodoo is the knowledge of it, okay? And then underneath that umbrella, you have spirits. So there's a plane, right? You have hoodoo. And then in hoodoo, we understand spirits, humans, animals, plants, stones, metals, deities, the ancestors, and the elements. Okay? So you have hoodoo on top. You have everything else. Not everything else. On the second line, you have, the human, the spirit, and da-da-da. But then everything that connects them all and everything that makes them live, everything that makes them, imagine you making a soup. You're making a hoodoo soup. Sorry, I'm gonna talk in African. You're making a hoodoo soup, and then you sprinkle in the animals and the spirits and the stones and the metals and things like that, and then the soup itself, like the things that puts them all together, the energy that makes them a soup is the mojo. And in the Western translation, the best translation that we as Africans or African Americans could explain to Westerners what mojo was to call it soul, the soul. Even though I think that soul is very reductive, because the mojo is the soul, but it also feeds on the soul, and then it is a very weird concept. But what I would say is soul. And if you still don't know how to explain it, for me it would be like soul music. There you go. So it's not much a soul, but more like soul music. And I don't know how to explain it. But for example, me, the way I see Mojo and the way I see soul, there's one, I'm going to give you a trivial example and I'm going to give you a more deep example. So the trivial one is every time I'm at a party with black people and or at a concert or anytime, and then some beat would like drop the right way, and somehow, even though I've never met this black person, that black person, this black person, I've never met them before, but we'll look at each other, and then at the same time, same moment, same beat, we'll do the same step, and everybody will just be like watching, like, did they rehearse this? No, we didn't. It's just in our soul. It's in our mojo. It's just, it's in there. It's in there. And so that's how, that's mojo. Another, so the deep, that was the trivial one. That was very, you might think, oh, that's so stupid. But for me, that's a lot. But the deep one is, no matter what, it's the resilience of black people. Black people have soul, they have heart, meaning they've been through so much throughout history, and because of something they could not control. It's not like they were like prisoners of war or they tried to invade a country, so now they're paying for it. No, it was usually because of the color of their skin, and so they were seen as less than human, but let's not talk about that. But for me, it's not even that I'm looking at. I'm looking at the resilience, and I'm looking at how black people are doing today and how they're still, like, not just surviving, but thriving and having such grace in getting back up again and again and again. And it's just that grace. I don't know. I'm getting goosebumps because it's just that, you know, that swag that they still have no matter what, like... And even now, everyone wants to be us. It is weird. It's like, it's cool, you know what I mean? But in coming from so much pain, and I think the only thing that has kept them this way, going and still being like the gold standard for a lot of things, sports, music, whatever, is the soul, is the mojo. That's the only way I can explain that. So yeah. So that's the mojo. But then we're going to talk about the mojo bag. That's one of the... And that's the concept here I wanted to talk about in voodoo. In hoodoo, there is the concept of the mojo bag. And if you wanted to understand what a mojo bag is, you have to understand what containment is. And in a lot of religion, you have the concept of containment. And it's very beautiful. It's very primal. Containment is pretty much the act of stuffing things into things. So usually in African religion, African cultures, a lot of like those statues or like wooden statues will be stuffed with things in there. They will be stuffed with secret objects. I don't know, a lot of things in there. And but then not only in African culture, but in European paganism and things like that, you will just stuff things into other things. So you will stuff nails into bottles. You'll stuff herbs into bags, satchels, and things like that. So containment is a really cool primal concept. And a lot of tribes used it. Also, the Native Americans also had a medicine bag, if you know. So, yeah. So, and the word itself is very cool. You're containing different things in one place. You're containing different things in one place, and you're taking the spirit or the mana or the chakras or of those things, putting them into one thing and feeding it and things like that. So when you insert the objects into that bag, into that satchel, you are pretty much putting them in a symbiotic relationship, they can work with each other, and then that would magnify their power and their potential to do something. And in the mudra bag is something that a hoodoo practitioner always has with them. And there are mudra bags for everything, but then we're going to get into that. So you make a mudra bag with the intention of it doing something. You feed the mudra bag. So it's very alive. You have to feed it. You have to feed it, and then you have to recharge it, to clean it, to do all kinds of things with it. So, normally the mudra bags are used for protection a lot of times, or for drawing. The concept of drawing. Drawing is kind of a magnetic attraction that you draw something to you. So the mudra bags were usually used for those two things, protection and drawing. You can draw love to you, luck, success, and money, and all anything that you want. So, the bags are built around the concept of animism, and I'm going to tell you a little bit what animism is and why that word came to be, and things like that. So, animism, which is very funny because growing up, I grew up Christian, and when people talked about animism, I thought that this was some kind of like barbaric concept, meaning they just, oh, look at those Africans worshipping animals. And that's what I thought animism meant, because animism, blah, blah, blah. But actually, it's not that. The Portuguese actually first coined the term when they arrived in Africa. Animism, that actually stemmed from anima, meaning the soul, or yeah, anything that animates a person. And in the African beliefs case, it animated everything. Animated just gave life to, meaning gives life to everything. So the Portuguese understood something when they arrived in Africa. They would, like, an African person would give them a gold chain, or the gold chain is a bit, yeah, a gold coin or a gold whatever, a gold artifact. And then he will not give them, for example, a wooden statue. They'd be like, no, this statue, I'm keeping it. You can have the gold. And the Portuguese was like, okay, this is weird. Do they know how much gold costs? Like, what the hell? And they realized that Africans had an attachment to objects that seemingly looked very of no value, of little or no value. So they would, you know, in a piece of cloth or in a piece of wood or in a piece of whatever. And then they would just give away all the other material things. And so they call them, like, they believe that those wooden things have a soul, have an anima. Therefore, they're animist. And they believe in animism. So yeah, just, it is the belief of that the plants, the rocks, the earth, the elements, the spirits, the everything has a soul. And I'm just going to, like, I'm going to go on a tangent right now. Just when the Portuguese arrived in Africa the first time, they went home and they wrote a book saying, they wrote a few books about the African man and the African person. But then in one of the specific books, I'm going to find the source and actually make a post about it maybe, and give you the source. They wrote a book saying that the African man is not a man, because a man defends its family by killing the people that are trying to threaten it. So they went there to Africa and started raping and pillaging, and you know what they do, raping, pillaging, and killing people. And then they were waiting for the black men to do something, to actually fight, but they didn't fight. So they were like, okay, that means they're not human, they're animals, because humans will defend and fight for what they love and things like that. Not knowing and understanding that it is, in the religion and culture, it is mostly pacifist. Why is it pacifist? Because when you're an animist, you don't just kill willy-nilly. whether it is plants or animals or people. You don't just start killing people because you believe that all of their lives or souls are important. So yeah, that was a little quick tangent. I might have to do a whole thing about this, but just think about that for a second. You know, because they went home and that's how they justified coming to Africa and taking things, because, you know, the African man did not defend himself. So yeah. So sorry for going on a tangent right there, but yes. So the bags, the Mojo bags, were built around the concept of animism and the concept that everything had a soul. And so the Mojo bags bear a striking, and there were a striking resemblance to Central African statues and things like that. Meaning that inside we found the same things. You found metals, you found magnets, you found coins, zoological parts, meaning bones, and things like that, herbs. And we're going to talk about that also, the whole bones and animals and things like that. because I know it's a really touchy subject, especially now. And I'm going to give you a little bit my opinion on animals being used in magic. But yeah, especially today, I'm gonna give you that. But let's move on. And so yeah, those statues that were in Africa were usually assembled by a priest, like an African priest, and they were called ngangas. Nganga in Lingala, because I'm Congolese. So in Lingala, it's so funny because nganga, which can mean two things, really, depending on the concept. So when you talk to someone about spirituality and you say Nganga, you usually mean a witch doctor. But when you're like in a normal world and you say Nganga, you actually mean a doctor. Meaning those two things at some point, like, were like the same. And then after religion, one came to mean something bad, like, so a witch doctor, and you have to be burned or whatever, and you have to be feared, or a doctor. But before there were any, like, medical doctors, they were witch doctors. They were the ones, you know, that the villagers went to for any kind of ailment. So the fact, and it's not only in Africa that this happened, it happened everywhere in Europe, it happened everywhere in Americas. So yeah, the fact that witches, actually, I always think that witches are just the ancestors of doctors. I see doctors today as witches, because what do? They look at plants, they study the plants, and then they make it work for our bodies. So yeah, I'm definitely not against science. I think that magic is a science in itself. So yeah, but then that might be another podcast, and I'm gonna go, yeah, so let's not go on a tangent, let's stick to the plan. So yeah, normally you would use a flannel tissue to make the Mojo bag. Flannel is this, like, it's made out of cotton. Now when you think of a flannel, you think of those ugly ass shirts. I'm sorry, I hate flannel shirts that, you know, rednecks wear with the stripes and things. It's not a plaid, you know, it usually has one color, and usually the flannel is red. So the power of red, so most of the time the flannel would be red in color, because red is very vibrant, it's compelling, it has a very cool color. Red embodies strength, virility, and action. But then that's a lot, that's just what a lot of Africans associated with it. So also red is a very royal color. Most royals in Africa wear red. But you don't have to get a red flannel anything, because the color red in this aspect is an Africanism, okay? If I have to say, it's a thing that is just very African. It has nothing really to do with the spirituality of it. Although a lot of, like, the deities are associated with different colors and things like that. So maybe you should base it on that. Like, if you want to find a flannel, you should maybe base it on which is your deity you like to work with. For example, me is Oshun, and I like to work with her or him, or because actually really African deities don't have sexes. So, but Oshun usually has a very feminine energy, so we call her she. And so I like to work with Oshun, and she usually likes like the yellow and oranges, and so I might maybe get a yellow and orange flannel bag to put my things in it. So yeah, and then you also like need ribbons. So the thing is, I'm gonna go through a lot of things here, but at the end, no, maybe not. I will have a printout or something like a PDF document with everything, because if you want to start your practice, you will need a lot of tools, and I will say a lot of names here that you might never have heard before. So I will do a printout of all the ingredients you might need to make your first mojo bag, okay? So yeah. So here, if we want, like, with hoodoo, I really, if you want to start with hoodoo, it's really great for you to actually look at other cultures that are, like, adjacent to it. So other cultures that also use hoodoo, mojo bag-like items, like the Native Americans who use the bandolier or who use the medicine bags and things like that. And also in there you'll still find, like, grass, herbs, stones, whatever, tobacco, dirt, coins. And also there is a tribe in Western Sudan called the Banama, and they are not mojo bags per se, but here you go. They're called, they contain something called bilongo, which is medicine, so yeah. And then they have a soul, which in their language is muyo, like is M-O-O-Y-O. So it's when you start looking again at different cultures, you start to see that most cultures believe have the same base, you know, in the same things. They and then in the same with the Banama and the same with mojo, they keep their mojo bag or their mojo bag close to them, and it has to be fed and nurtured by their owners in order for the mojo bag to work for them. So now we're going to talk about the concept of ashe, okay? Or ashe, but it's more like ashe. And normally you write it A-S-E. I know you hear a sh in there, but it's just A-S-E. But then, you know, depending on where you're from, it has a different name. Depending on where Africans are from, it has a different name. But we use ashe right now because it is a Yoruba word, and most of the slaves that went to the United States were Yoruba, or they were like Nigerian. So ashe became known as a more like Kemetic word today. But I'm sure if you're African and you have another language, ashe might be just another word for you. Ashe is also kind of like correspondent to the word amen or amin in amen for Christians, amin for Muslims and Jewish people. So, you know, this word usually means just so mote it be, also for the Wiccans, or just, you know, as it should be, or it will be, or it is a confirmation word. So ashe is the energy source. It is the energy that is going to make everything live. It is not the mojo per se, but it's just the energy source. No, not energy source. It's that energy that is present in nature. There you go, because mojo is present in all things, but ashe usually is present in nature. So when you consume a plant, you're consuming their ashe, you know? When you're consuming animals, same thing. When you are commuting with the wind or with water or with the fire, they all have ashe, okay? Sorry, my nose is completely, like, stuffed. But don't worry, I don't have the corona, I think, because Stuffy knows it is definitely not a, how you call that thing? A symptom. So yeah, so the concept stems from the notion that the objects are animated with life and imbued with ashe, okay? And so it just literally, like I said, it means so mote it be, may it happen, so it be, amen, da 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 da. So usually when you see black people commuting together and saying things, we're like, ashe, you know? Every time someone says something, it's a word of affirmation, like, yes, it means something, yes. You know, period, yes, da da da. So the mojo bag is used in hoodoo, where in other parts of the world, like, they don't really have, especially in Africa, they don't really have mojo bags. They have, like, amulets, you know? They have shields, masks, charms, things like that. So it got translated somehow in hoodoo with a mojo bag. So here we're going to talk about where and how to wear your flannel. So you will have to wear it normally, your flannel. So it's worn in different parts of the body. Back in the days with different clothes, you know, you would tie it around your waist and things like that. And now, for me, a good place to put it, because I have boobies, I put sometimes things in my bra. And I think that's something that most women do. For men, I guess you will have to put it in a pocket, or usually it's also in a front jacket pocket as well, and in things like that. So, but then we'll get to, sometimes you would have to wear it a certain place in order for it to do a certain thing, okay? So every day you face challenges and da da da, but then as soon as, when you have your mojo bag with you, it's kind of like an assistant. It will assist you into whatever it is you want to do. You'll want also your mojo bag where you can touch it easily, you know, touch it and stroke it and feed it and things like that easily. So yeah, you can carry it on the leg, you can carry it anywhere, but it really depends on where you wear it and also what you want it to do. So the first curio that so we're going to talk about like the things that go into the mojo bag. You have first a lodestone pair, so it's going to be a he and a she. Lodestone is a magnet, a magnetite, it's a mineral, and usually like they attract to each other. With these magnets, you're going to have to find a he and a she. The he will have more of a phallic shape, and the she will be more round, and together they will attract and into this kind of like intercourse. And so this is really great fixture for your mojo bag, and it's really great for you to put it inside there. Okay, so you can find your lodestone pair everywhere that where they sell stones, or you can find it online, especially now with the corona, you will have to find it online, unfortunately. But yeah, normally it would be, it's very great for you to go and find your own and really feel and touch it and be like, okay, this is my pair of lodestone. After you acquire them, after you get them, you will need to feed them. You can feed them whiskey or chambalai or Hoyt's cologne. Chambalai, as you may have guessed, or if you don't know what that means, chambalai is piss. So yeah, but so if you don't want to feed your stones piss, you can feed them Hoyt's cologne or whiskey. You will soak them in and then dry them off completely. The mojo bag is for everyone. It's for women and men and whatever. But then you also have a nashin sack. A nashin sack is mostly for women. And but then that's really some women in some states. But then most people have mojo bags. Like a nashin sack, for example, can be made with the underwear of your loved one, for example. But and a notion sack cannot be touched, actually a mojo bag either. Like, you cannot let anyone touch your mojo bag. It'll be bad for them, it'll be bad for you. You have zoological curios, and zoological meaning animal, and I said we were gonna get to that, so here we are. about animal parts being used or animals being used in cultures. What is my take on that? Right now, I'm trying to be vegan, okay? I think I'm completely vegetarian now. I'm more of a flexitarian also because if someone offers me something, I will eat it because I will not reject it. That doesn't do anything to the world. The animal is already dead, so me rejecting something that someone is offering me doesn't help the animal any more than, you know. But I'm trying to reduce my consumption of animals in this world and doing my part. Why? Am I against killing animals? No, because normally in the best world, in the best of worlds, there is a balance in nature and the universe. But humans are, okay, I'm not going to say it like that. Capitalism has made humans into more of a parasite than an ally of nature. So we have big slaughterhouses where they kill millions of animals each day to feed people, and then a lot of it also goes to waste. There's no such thing as balance anymore in nature. This is why I will not, as because I believe in balance. I really, really, really believe in balance, and the world is already unbalanced as it is, and so me killing more animals is just me going totally against balance of nature. We're already killing so many of them. So for me killing another one, I'm not like tipping the scale back, you know? So, but then if you can find animal bones without killing the animal, so what I do is I have a friend who is a hunter and he brings me animal bones, and that he does it, I don't have to do it. They hunt actually to regulate nature, because we do have to regulate nature as humans. Sometimes you have species that become, you know, a nuisance to nature and to themselves. So you have hunters, especially here in Europe, not in the United States. In the United States, I think people hunt just because they have small penises. So, but here in Europe, there's a hunting season that was made to maybe kill off a little percentage of a little, like, species, so that the species itself can thrive, and also so that the other animals in the ecosystem can also thrive. So I have a friend like that who would bring me bones of little animals and little critters that I don't have to kill myself. But if you eat meat, you know, keep your chicken bones and things like that. So so yeah, normally in African religions, especially in Congolese religion, you would put those animal bones called the minkisi, kisi, in the kisi, and in there you will have dirt from an elephant footstep, for example, or snake scale, animal sexual organs, always. That's in every culture, Asian culture, things like that. Nails, hair clippings, the bits and pieces of a deceased sorcerer or warrior, things like that. Do not go ahead and kill sorcerers or warriors. Don't go kill humans. Don't do that. Don't go grave robbing either. I'm not telling you to do all those things anyways, but do what you feel is right for you. I told you what was right for me. I'm not going to kill animals, unfortunately, unless I live a life that goes with the balance of the universe. Meaning, because first of all, another thing also, normally there's a circle of life. I'm going to go Lion King on you. There's a circle of life, meaning when something dies, it goes, you know, it perishes and goes into the earth, and then, you know, you have like the little worms that turn it into soil, and then the soil brings about like vegetation, and then another animal that is herbivore is going to eat the vegetation, and then thus, you know, going and recreating the circle of life. That circle has been broken, stepped on, pissed on. It doesn't work like that anymore. First of all, we're buried into huge ass coffins that are like centimeters thick, and we are filled with so much chemicals that even if some worms were about to eat our decomposing bodies, they would not eat it because we just smell like medicine and formaldehyde, and we're not giving back to nature. We're just we even refuse to fucking die and rot like we're supposed to. So the balance is definitely not there. So for me to just kill an animal, I'm like, what am I giving back to you? Nothing. I'm just killing you and you're not getting anything from me. So not even, I guess, my gratitude, but that's not enough. You know what I mean? So I will not kill animals for my practice. I will take whatever I can get. But me, myself, I will not do that. And it's not because I'm some kind of like, animals are cute or whatever. No, if there was balance on the earth, I will eat a koala just like I will eat a chicken. Like, I don't discriminate my animals. I like meat, you know, but just because there's this weird imbalance in the universe right now, I feel that if I participate in that imbalance, I will be imbalanced, and that's not a good thing. So, yeah. If you're completely against using animals, parts, or anything in your practice, you can always use images of animals, animal art. You can use statues and things like that. So little replicas, little dolls of animals. You can make them yourself out of clay. Sorry, you can make them yourself out of clay and things like that. So. But yeah, when it comes to animal parts and curios to put in your stuff, that's how I deal with it. You can deal with it how you want to. And, to each his own. And that's the good thing with hoodoo, because everyone can just kind of make it as they see fit and to fit their lifestyle. You know, with voodoo, as we're going to learn in the next series, it's not the same. So, you know. So since you're putting all those, like, dead things or non-alive things into your bag, so meaning like the bones and the stones and things like that in your bag, you will need to feed it, meaning give them ashe, give them power, give them a little bit of life, a little bit of energy. And those energies, you usually find them from like spirits, and I'm not talking about ghosts, I'm talking about alcohol, so meaning whiskey, rum, and things like that. Herbal sweet waters, cologne, Florida water, maybe not for libation, it's a bit cheap, you know. If you give Florida water to your ancestor, they will insult you, trust me. So maybe not that, but things that are, you know, good. I like to give rum to feed my bags, but also libation is a ritual that is used in many African cultures. It's the practice of like pouring a combination of like food and spirits and things like that, and singing. Sometimes it is for a deity, like a god, or sometimes it is just for your ancestors. I usually give libation to my ancestors, and sometimes when I forget to do that, well, bad things happen to me. So, like, yes, libation is very, very important to connect with your ancestors. And also with the ancestors, so, you know, and deities and things like that, they usually like some particular things. So when you start working with a deity, when you start working with your ancestors, is very easy. Well, easy, depending on if you know who the ancestor you're working with is. I know that they were my grandmothers, the one I'm working with, so they get what they liked when they were alive, you know, and I try to do that. But yeah, I'm trying. Like, I don't want to. I think I'm very an ungrateful person because I don't really give them as much as they give me. So, so I need to step my libation game up, okay? Because I've seen some videos of, like, practitioners on Instagram and stuff going to the beach. I don't have a beach here. Going to the beach with, like, baskets of fruit and things and throwing it into the ocean. I don't have that. I'm sorry. There's no beach. I'm not going to put it in a canal because it's disgusting. So, you know, I just feel very inadequate when it comes to my libation. But, yeah, you can... you know, feed a bunch of, like, potions and things like that.
You need another concept you need to know about, like, containment and mojo is, like, we're talking about colors before and we're talking about things that go inside. You need to know that there is a separation of inside and outside. Outside is what you want to show and inside is what you want to conceal. Outside represents the physical world and inside represents the mystical, metaphysical world. So, on the outside, normally, you know, we use red because... On the outside, we use red usually because most mojo bags are red. But that's just, again, like I said, an Africanism thing. It is not definitely... you don't have to have a red flannel bag. And so the outside of your flannel bag can represent something... that you are okay with people seeing, meaning like you're the deity. So for example, if you want to speak to a deity and you want them to know exactly what your bag is for, the outside will be, for me, if I work with Oshun and I want to be like, oh, that bag is for you, I will wear, I will have a yellow mojo bag, you know, and the inside represents the spiritual. So before she can look inside the bag, she will look up like, oh, this is a yellow mojo bag. That means that that's for me. I get to look inside and feed off the energy of what I put inside the bag. So you always have inside, outside, above, below. That concept keeps coming back and it will always come back to your spirituality. So, you know, learn it. Another name for a mojo bag. So we have the mojo bag, the nation bag, da 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 da. But another name for it is a mojo hand. And a hand is pretty cool because it just means it's a hand that's helping you. It's a helping hand. You know, it's a magical helper. It's just helping you. So normally, you activate your mojo bag by stroking it, squeezing it. Like if you're somewhere and you're like, oh, I need... you're in an interview and you're just like, oh, God, I need to get this interview. You get your mojo bag and you just, like, squeeze it and imbue it with... and activate it, imbue it with power. Think of it as a button. Like, oh, okay, now my mojo is activated. Let's go, you know? And so that's how you mobilize the energy, you know? And that's how you tell the mojo bag to do your biting and to do what you want it to do. So another curio that you will maybe need, and yeah, you will kind of need it. So Africans have always admired working with metals. And if you go to see African statues, they're sometimes like full with nails and metal pieces and things like that. And so they really like the process of like metallurgy and stuff, and warriors like Orisha warriors, Congolese warriors, they usually believed that, even today actually, which is a bad example, but it is true, a lot of soldiers in Africa, now that the soldiers and rebels and things like that, it's very difficult, it's a very sensitive topic, but a lot of them work around with bullets or things like that, or you know, bullet dust or, you know, gunpowder and things like that, and that's not a new thing. That's not a new thing. Warriors used to do that before. They used to believe that the dust that used to settle near the anvil and, like, the steel dust was very, very, very important. So one curio that you might need, and I don't know where you can get it, but I'm sure they sell it online, is anvil dust. So it's just the dust that's settled in next to an anvil. It's kind of black. And steel dust. Okay? Steel. So another thing that you will have to be as a hoodoo practitioner is a hunter and gatherer. Hunter, maybe not, but Gatherer, definitely. But Hunter also, because you're hunting on the internet now. When you're sitting at home, you're going to be hunting on the internet for all the things I'm going to be telling you to get. So, you know, you will be hunting in your pantry, because I'll be telling you to get things like white sugar cane and glove and cologne and baking soda. So you'll be hunting it. And you can also just go to the forest all alone and hunt and gather and like have a day of where you commute with nature and just pick up stuff, cut stuff, draw stuff. I don't know, you know, plant stuff if you need. But yeah, you can definitely... You have to have this kind of curious mind if you're going to be a hoodoo practitioner, because you have to go into the forest and just take whatever you can get. Things that mean things to you and things that don't need to. One thing you will need a lot in your practice is needles and pins. So just pins and sewing needles. First of all, sewing needles to sew your mojo bag. You can do it by hand. I do it with my sewing machine, but you know, you can also do it by hand. You can do it by hand when you're doing a ritual, and this is what I usually do. I just sit down, and while I'm doing my ritual, I'm actually sewing it. Blah, blah, blah. So that's you can do that, and you can definitely have pins and needles, and those also will have correspondence magic into it. And you will need silver dimes. That were pop, but then the thing is, dimes only are in America, and that's very annoying, because you will need dimes that were minted before 1964, because before that they were made out of real silver. So I'm trying to find out, because that's one of the things that I'm missing here in Europe. Where can I just find silver coins? It doesn't matter like if it's money or whatever, just silver coins. It doesn't matter if there is money on it or like a value on it, if it's a dime, if it's a whatever. I just need a coin, coins that are silver. So if you know where I can find those, that would be great, and not having to pay a fortune. So yeah, silver things, because I do need to give my ancestors some money. So yeah, but most of the things you can try and find on Etsy and things like that. So another thing that you will need to know is incantations and things like that. Hoodoo usually uses Christian incantations and Christian things, because they were colonized, or they were enslaved by Christians and things like that. So they had to like learn the Bible and read the Bible. So they took from that culture as well. But there's one book in the Bible that is really cool. I was raised Christian, and I kind of like rejected it because of all the hypocrisy and the wrongness of it all. But there are books in the Bible, I mean, because you have to use your discernment, right? And when you're a person. So I don't completely reject everything that's in the Bible, because some things are actually do just make sense. You know what I mean? Like, some things are just make sense. It's not bad, you know? And one book that really, like, speaks to anyone, whether you're a Christian or not, is the Book of Psalms. And a lot of, like, incantations in hoodoo come from Psalms. For example, Psalm 23, and I'm going to recite it now, is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So that's one example of the Psalms. I think the Psalm is very, very comforting. Like, it's just very nice. And to say and to repeat to yourself, whether you believe in God or not, is very nice, I think. Another thing, so we'll be using Psalms. So we talked about like nails and pins, I mean, like metal and things like that. So we have nails, and you will need nails as well, because nails, especially, sorry, normally they require like coffin nails, but I'm not gonna get you to go to a coffin and steal some nails. You also maybe work with horseshoe nails and all that stuff. They usually represent, you know, it's mostly for Yoruba, so you don't need them. But yeah, it's mostly Yoruba culture, because nails represent like Ogun, and they represent, you know, like it's great to bind things together, to fix things. You know, just think about what a nail does, and then think about what it could do metaphysically. So let's say a nail for you is put things together. So let's say you want to make sure that your relationship with your husband or whatever is strong as fuck, and you want to fix it, you will maybe use a nail in it. Just think about all those things, you know? And so you can also incorporate your own things into the bag that means things to you. So, but nails are usually used a lot, okay? You also use, like, pins and needles, and pins and needles you will need maybe for candle magic. You know, when you write names on candles, you usually do it with a needle, okay? When you want to press on something, you will need needles. But yeah, it's better to maybe have pins and needles that you inherited, but you can definitely have your own sewing kit and things like that. So there are a lot of things, and that you will also need to maybe garden, you know, and it's very great as a practitioner to always have like a house garden, a little garden. I don't live in a rural place, so I have my own garden in the house and on the balcony, and so all my herbs, usually I will just grow them there. And so I will put the roots and things that you need, and the plants that you need. You know, you will need like Adam and Eve roots, John the Conqueror root, and yeah. So you will, with plants and things, we usually talk about sympathetic magic. And it's sympathetic magic is how our ancestors or people, like medicine people, knew that this plant was good for this. Usually it was guessing, but somehow they were right and accurate. Why? You do, we just look at a plant. If the plant had a heart shape, they'd be like, this is for the heart. If a plant had it, and they would use it medically as well. So if this plant has this kind of thing, then it would be for that. So they would just like feel and sympathize with the plant. And that's also another thing. I actually did a work on this. I worked on a film about, where I was talking about this type of empathy that we lost as human beings. We lost a way to empathize with plants and animals, because they can actually help us. We can actually draw like the energy from them. And I think that before all this evolution and all that weird, the fact that we disconnected from nature before that, I think we could feel the energies of plants. And we could trust them to tell us like if what we needed, you know, and how we could use them, you know. So yeah, so this everything that's to do with plant, it's really about like sympathetic magic, you know, the color of it. If red is this like for vitality, then you will eat red plants. And same thing in Ayurvedic magic, where when you're like working on your chakras, each chakra has a color, and so you will eat the fruit based on your chakras, and then you will, you know, try to heal the chakra. And so yeah, that's it for the mojo bag. And underneath all of this, I'm going to put my sources. I'm going to also put a list, not underneath, I guess, on somewhere. You're gonna have a link to all those things. I'm gonna put a link of the sources, the books that I'm reading. I'm going to be putting also a list of groceries and things and that you can buy to make your first mojo bag. I'm going to be putting a few recipes, a few mojo bag examples that you can make
yourself for luck and things like that. So thank you so much for listening. I hope I didn't bore you to death. But yeah, this was the first series on hoodoo and magic. So I hope you like it, and I hope it was educational, to say the least. I'll see you next time where we talk about the waters, okay? Like all the hoodoo waters, so meaning Florida water and things like that, and what they're used for and things like that, okay? So thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you guys later. Bye.